Now, for something completely different, here is your host, former New York City radio star, now relegated to third-tier podcasting, Brian Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all sexes, and all of you closely watching the Trump indictment scoreboard, welcome to another slide down the razor blade of life with the two and only. Back with you once again to beat the dead horse of current events for your dining and dancing pleasure. Brian Wilson's my name, with talent on loan from Walmart. Joining me once again with his unique brand of passionate podium pounding is my partner in podcasting crime, not one of the rich men north of Richmond, but rather best-selling author, legislative journalist, opinion spear chucker for the New York Post, who uses his trademark beard as a windsock for public opinion, James Bovard. Welcome, James.
Well, Brian, it's always great to be waiting for your fresh twist of wit. Yeah, the beard is windsock. The wind's not blowing that much today. And this Richmond, north of Richmond. Hey, I went to school at Virginia Tech. That's south of Richmond. So
there you go. Well, and I went to LSU, so I'm not anywhere. I'm south of where you are, so we're in great shape. But I
That's true. But there was a prep school on your record. So
yes. I was an 18. So I, you can't try me as a juvenile. I mean, but it was part of the influence. That's for sure. The, we were talking about those two songs. Try This in a Small Town, and then Richmond, north of Richmond. There was someone who made this. Cassie made the suggestion that if they hadn't used the BLM video and so on for the video on Try This in a Small Town, that it probably never would have gotten the notoriety that it had.
Interesting. Yeah, I have not seen the video. I heard a little bit of clips of it, and there was a huge backlash. It's interesting to see the backlash against the Richmond, north of Richmond.
Yeah.
It's like, there were some very good lines in that song. There were a few that, you're kind of looking for the copy editor, but
Yeah, I fully expected back in the days when you actually had individual talent behind the microphone in the studios that there'd be a beep, here and there. But I don't know, maybe we're all old enough now to be able to deal with things that were otherwise considered one of the seven words that couldn't be mentioned over the air, not to rape the tender ears of listeners.
It's hard to find tender ears these days.
Yes, exactly. So, so what the hell? Why not say son of a bitch and so on? It's perfectly accessible. Nobody's shocked and amazed by that anymore. But speaking of material and so on, looking at your website at jimbovard.com, judging from the number of new articles that I'm seeing up there since we met last week, you've been busier than a Georgia process server.
Yeah, I'm trying to repent of my slothful ways.
There you go. I always knew you had it in you, and it's nice to see you're getting it out there. I was, if I can pull it up here, in fact, it was a week ago today, August the 11th, your piece on Merrick Garland's nastiness to protect the Bidens. There was a line in there that I wanted to ask you about. Since I was going through all of those as we went along, this was the one where, for those of you who haven't seen it, you go to jimbovard.com. It's a couple of pieces down from August the 11th about Merrick Garland's dirty tricks appointing David Weiss as a special counsel. And your point was, about halfway, three-quarters of the way through, is Justice Department regulations require that special counsels be selected from, quote, outside the United States government, unquote. That's actually part of the regulation. Weiss, as you mentioned, is still a Justice Department employee. Merrick Garland is obviously the Attorney General. His boss is Joe Biden. But apparently the new job title makes Mr. Weiss now independent and not apparently a federal employee. What gets me about that is that, after you blew the whistle on that a week ago, it was, I think, 24, 48 hours later that David Horowitz, famous constitutional attorney out of Harvard, wrote a piece. And the first words in his piece were, "That's illegal." And then went on to explain as well that Jonathan Turley, Georgetown attorneys on Fox all the time, handful of other pundits, all came on and just talked about that this was out of bounds, it was illegal, it was contrary to the regulations, da 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 da. What no one has addressed is the simpleton, that would be me, question: if great and legal minds can emphatically pronounce the appointment illegal. Why are we wasting all this time listening to talking heads ponder the strategic and the strategies rather and the arguments that that he and everybody else might use? It seems to me that Trump's high-priced lawyers would certainly throw the monkey wrench into the spokes of Merrick Garland's legal bicycle there and screw things up.
Yeah, it's perhaps the bigger question is there any way to force the government to obey the law? Because this seems pretty brazen by Merrick Garland, but he's got a lot of apologists. The Washington Post came out with an editorial saying it was, that it was justified to appoint Weiss as a special counsel because Weiss is going to write an official report, and since people will have that official report, they will know what the government did and why it did it, and that's going to restore public confidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have to remember that Mr. Bovard is known for his irony, sarcasm, and other ingredients into his both writing and speaking that have to be taken into consideration. And it sounds as if he's actually restored his confidence in government procedure.
the sad thing is it was only my final sentence that was being sarcastic, ironic, whatever, sardonic, because the Washington Post did have this editorial saying it is justified to make Weiss the special counsel because then he can write a report and tell us all what happened. And, I'm thinking Durham, the Durham report, wasn't that like 4 years after he started? And, the thing about this is as long as they get to the past the second Tuesday or whatever, November next year, it doesn't matter what they publish or when they publish it. And not only that, but there is, the statute of limitations is still ticking on these Hunter Biden violations, like his gun crime. Felony runs out October 12th. Damn shame.
Missed another one. Darn. What I'm also curious about is, first of all, I think it would be a great gig to get a job as a special investigator, special prosecutor or whatever. I mean, apparently there's no time limit. I don't know is there a set salary that these guys get paid, or is it all negotiable?
I assume it's a set salary, but if memory serves, there was some controversy back in the during the first George H.W. Bush administration. There was an independent prosecutor or something like that who would tend to run up a lot of high expenses because he would get his breakfast brought to his room in the Watergate or something like that. So now there's a lot of troubles with this, but the fundamental issue is that there is no good way to compel the government to obey the law. So we have the rule of law except for the government.
Yeah, apparently the closest you can get to that, I would think, would be getting a case before the Supreme Court that would smack the government down and say, no, you can't do that, you can't do this, and so on. Of course, they can always run back and rewrite the legislation and try and squeeze it through with some weasel wording or something. Or like the Biden administration is doing, apparently it doesn't really matter what the Supreme Court says anymore. If you say you can't give amnesty to all of these college kids that took out these monster loans and just say, forget about it, you can't do that. So, okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and do it anyway. And it falls back to the crime hasn't been committed until somebody screams. Well, somebody screamed and the Supreme Court rendered a decision and they go back and do it again. It's really rather astounding that there aren't legislators. Well, maybe it's not so astounding that there aren't legislators, people in Congress, the Senate, whatever the case, that would stand up and make a big deal about this, but there certainly are a whole bunch of nonprofits, LLCs, 501c3, different organizations, Judicial Watch, so on, that wouldn't jump in there with lawsuits and requests for injunctions and cease and desist and so on to try and rein that whole thing in. It's kind of surprising when it doesn't happen, since they generally make such a big deal when the government does step across the line like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of nonprofits and activists who are challenging Biden's student loan policies, but President Biden on this issue has chosen to treat American taxpayers like President Andrew Jackson treated the Cherokee Indians. There was a Supreme Court decision that struck down President Andrew Jackson's plan for a Trail of Tears to force the Indians to move from North Carolina out to Oklahoma. But President Jackson responded that the Supreme Court had their decision, let them enforce it. And he kept abusing the Cherokee Indians horribly.
Well, maybe that's where Biden's taking his inspiration, and obviously other presidents before him, Obama and Bush and whatever. That it's right there on paper. It's almost like we've discussed in the past about the Constitution being a lousy defense against bullets and government and force and batons and so on. It doesn't really matter if you've got rights enumerated in the Constitution. It doesn't matter if the government's got limitations enumerated in the Constitution. You know, all you got to do is push the ignore button and you're pretty much SOL. Hooray, like you say. Your August 13th piece on the Biden administration's ongoing efforts to censor word, thought, and deed took a hit. Speaking of the judicial branch getting there, getting involved, we talked about this a little bit a week or two ago. The federal judge there, Terry Doughty's opinion, waving a finger and a large stick at Biden. What was it? Oh, here it is. The most massive attack against free speech in United States history. And in your piece, you also put in some quotes from some of the other judges that were in on the hearing that had unfavorable and untasteful things to say about the administration and the DOJ and their fiddling around. But at the end, I got the sense that at some point, this case is just going to be slated for another appearance before the Supreme robes.
Well, but that's a good thing. It's a positive development if this case ends up quickly in front of the Supreme Court. And the court could issue a ruling on this before the 2024 election, because the Judge Doughty's July 4th opinion detailed how the federal agencies had tainted the 2020 presidential election. They were doing all this censoring, federal censorship contractors, direct pressure by the FBI. They were trying to suppress any criticism or doubts about mail-in ballots. And that was how President Biden won the election, 65 million votes. I think that may have been roughly the number of mail-in or absentee ballots. Maybe it wasn't quite that high, but it was overwhelming. And there are, there have always been a lot of questions about fraud and mail-in ballots. So it's a great development, I think, when these policies are openly damned, like they were by the federal appeals court judges, pretty much by the federal district court judge Doughty. So it forces the defenders of censorship to come out and make a stand in public. And simply making the issue public is halfway to winning it, because these are policies that do very poorly in sunlight.
Well, yeah, but what if it all boomerangs back to President Jackson? Say, okay, nice opinion. Good luck with it.
Well, Ryan, don't you have any faith in the system?
Absolutely not, Jim. and I'm proud to say so. And I have to say that over the last 30-some-odd years, some of my best lessons came from our conversations.
Well, thank you. I don't know, but I mean, it's a positive development. You've got some very savvy lawyers. You've got these state attorney generals. You've got the new Civil Liberties Alliance. You've got a lot of online activists who are hounding these censorship policies. So the cost of doing this BS behind closed doors has gotten much higher for the feds.
Yeah, I've noticed. I saw that for the first time today. There was, I can't remember the guy's name, one of the better political cartoonists who pop up, and it shows the elephant and the donkey and the media, sitting on top of a big steamer trunk that's labeled Truth. And on the other side, it says alt media. And it's, they're trying to keep the alt media, your blog, and, these events from allowing the truth to come out. And yet it is. I mean, like on those mail-in ballots, there's a story about the 13,000 discovered in Illinois here recently, and another bunch down in Georgia, all these places where the allegations never got to, the contentions that Trump was trying to put out there, never got to court. But they used as saying, well, these things never succeeded in court. Well, they never heard in court. And now all of a sudden, they're actually producing tangible evidence of ballots that were marked by the same person. They're all in chronological order, which they never would be, and so on. Of course, it doesn't get any exposure. So who cares?
Yeah, it would have been helpful if the Trump team could have put together coherent evidence much earlier, because – There were certainly abuses in 2020. There were abuses in almost every election. I think there were an awful lot of abuses in 2020, but a lot of the comments from Trump and his team were just kind of wild-eyed and inaccurate, and they did a lot of damage to their own credibility.
Yeah, there was a lot of feet with bullet holes in them. I think they were opting for sensationalism and headlines and attention, which is not a bad thing, but then to not have something solid, coherent, logical, and presentable. When they did get the cameras and the microphones pointed at them, instead they had TV appearances and so on that were equally as sensational as their own headlines. But the big thing in your article that needs to be remembered, I think, is he's point out if Team Biden can destroy freedom of speech by renaming censorship, quote, content moderation, unquote, then there's all sorts of mischief and skullduggery that could be applied to other things that we otherwise take for granted as a freedom or a right that we enjoy. There's that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just to see how easily the Biden team has gotten away with censorship, to see how little backlash there was from some of the top newspapers. It's not encouraging. So I don't know what they're teaching in journalism school now, but I don't know what they ever taught because I never had a class in journalism.
Well, I looked at one of those alumni magazines that Cassie gets from Syracuse, where she went to the Newhouse School of Broadcasting up there, Newhouse School of Journalism. Pardon me. And I think the new degree that they're offering up there now is in proper pronoun use. In reporting. I could be wrong on that. I was reading it upside down. It could say something entirely different. But there does seem to be a pattern forming here. The executive branch is tossing around decrees and decrees and decrees, causing all sorts of problems in our lives, breaking things that aren't broken, light bulbs, gas stoves, water heaters. Even if Congress is flaccid enough to go along with these things, I'm certainly hoping that some of these organizations that you just mentioned that I alluded to will come forth with the legal tools to slam on the brakes. But the news coverage, of course, is the big thing as it educates the public. With all the excitement of the fires in Maui, Trump's legal woes, Hunter Biden's innocence, I guess they've cleaned up all the problems on our southern border. I haven't heard anything about that. It's, I guess that's all taken care of.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I guess Biden had a busy fundraising schedule. Mm-hmm. A week or two back when he went to the Grand Canyon, he didn't have time to swing by the border.
Yeah, well, you know, that you have just so much fuel in Air Force One, and, you know, you got to be careful with the price of gasoline and so on. Speaking of fuel and time and everything else, before we bring this to a merciful end, no doubt you're aware that we are mere days away from Christmas. So let me remind you before it's too late to get ahead of the crowds and riots this year and amaze everyone on your gift-giving list with any one of the 10 best-selling works of Jim Bovard. You can raise everyone's IQ with the enlightening, entertaining reading material immortalized by my warm clothes personal pal, Jim Bovard. From Freedom and Chains and Lost Rights, the first two that I read that are benchmarks of that library, to Attention Deficit Democracy and Public Policy Hooligan, which I have to warn you in advance has got a lot of humor and ribald sexual activities deleted.
Not that much.
So click your way over to Amazon for the best deals. And while you're there, dare to check out 50 stories, 50 years in radio for the elders on your list who will gleefully reminisce about the static of AM radio and the days of payola. If you're suffering from Bidenomics and the inflation that comes with it, sign up everyone for a free subscription to Brian Wilson Writes on Substack. It's better than a sharp stick in the eye and heals twice as fast. Jim Bovard and myself should make bail in time to be here next week with more existential commentary so popular with the pontiffs of politics these days. For Jim Bovard, whose Cherokee name is Types with Fists, and Joe Tenton, celebrating another anniversary of broadcasting malfeasance, Brian Wilson reminding you to visit our separate but equally combustible websites, jimbovard.com and brianwilson.net, where we stash all the really good stuff, and there's no paywall. Yeah, that's about as pugilistic as we can get for now. Thanks for walking across the razor wire to be with us. Till next time, pull the plug, Joe.